football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner. So, welcome once more to the CBFA podcast. It is, it's week six. Now. It's running together and I'm starting to lose my mind, Cole. James and Cole with you, CBFA podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. We had five more games on the slate earlier today, as we're recording on Saturday evening. Starting with a couple of games again that were watched and announced by Grant Pollock. So I was able to catch up with Grant, and we'll hear from him again later. So we can start with the Colts and the Cowboys.
Colts and Cowboys. Do you want those honors, James?
Because I will. Take that
one. You got the rare announcing duties for that
one. I did. That was my first announcing game this year. So, whatever. It was good. So, as we expected, the Colts were pretty dominant on the day and ended up winning the game 48-8. But I think we were pleasantly surprised at how well the Cowboys stayed in the game for as long as they did. They played a solid game defensively and held a really powerful offensive team to only 48 points, but I mean it could have been so much worse. Yeah. What were your impressions of that game?
I think I just need to echo what you were saying. It caught us off guard in the sense of we've been seeing the Colts being so dominant throughout the entire season so far, and it's the Cowboys put up a fight in the first half, which I wasn't necessarily expecting in the game necessarily, but they did come out to play today, and they did put up a fight in that first half. It was a lot closer in the first two quarters, and then it kind of, unfortunately for the Cowboys, I don't know if they just got gassed or what, but if the Colts just found their groove, started to landslide a little bit. But it was a good look from the Cowboys early, and it was good to see that they can, even if it's part of a game, they can still keep up with one of the top teams in the league this season.
Yeah, for sure. So the Colts moved to 6-0. They're still top of the table, and the team everyone is gunning for. And the Cowboys fall to 2-3. And then over it in Canada.
2-4.
2-4, sorry. Yeah, no, the website was updated. It was my eyes that were.
So many numbers.
It's, so many numbers. And the over it in Canada, the Stampeders, fresh off of their bye, as we expected, completely dominated the Mavericks, winning 52-0.
I will note that results and some other results has meant that the Mavericks can no longer clinch a Div 1 or Div 2 playoff spot. They can get a maximum of ninth place in the standings, so they are the first team to actually clinch a divisional. We don't know their seed yet. There's still a couple weeks left, but they're the first team to clinch a divisional playoff spot.
Yeah. All the other teams could still move one way or another.
Yeah.
The Mavericks are set.
And then our final game of the day, which is probably our most controversial one, allegedly, depending on which sideline you were on.
There were some
Featured the Wildcats and the Rebels.
there were definitely
And
some
there's,
strong
yeah. You were, let me put it this way, James, you were lucky you were upstairs.
well, we could hear it upstairs. So
Yeah.
yeah, some very strong opinions on that Rebel sideline.
Before there were strong opinions, however, Rebels did actually open up the scoring. I did not see that play. I was in the trailer at the time. I was a little late coming out for that game. But yeah, Rebels actually opened up the scoring against the Wildcats.
Yeah, I did see that play. It was a half decent drive. I think it was, what was it, Sam Willie? Was that his name?
No, same way as Bulldogs.
Oh, that's Bulldogs. Oh, he was player of the game earlier this year. He's number 33, I think. Anyways, he made some runs and then ended up catching a pass for that scoring play. So
Then the Mavericks kind of. Or it's not the Mavericks, the Wildcats, sorry. I can tell where my brain's at. The Wildcats then proceeded to level things up and kind of turn the tide a little bit.
yeah.
Sam McGee is the player you're thinking of.
Yes,
So you are
McGee.
correct on the Sam. Yeah, no, Wildcats kind of turned the table a little bit and, ran away with it a bit. I think they're at, what, 32-8 at one point in time.
Yeah, before the Rebels scored again.
But like they were the Rebels were in again. I think that was the other shock of this week is the Rebels were hanging around with the Wildcats for a lot of that game.
Yeah, they were. The
Yeah, he
Wildcats
didn't.
were definitely not running away with it until,
He
until
was.
late.
It kind of took a bit of a turn in the final 3 minutes of the first half. Because the Wildcats managed to score two quick ones.
Yeah, one was the result of a longer drive, and then they got a quick turnover. The Rebels were trying to move the ball down the field and ended up in an interception. So short field for the Wildcats late in the half.
Yeah, and that kind of set the tide for the rest of the game, and then it kind of got a little spicy on the sidelines. And yeah, well, that's as far as I'll go with that comments. But no,
Spicy.
so yeah, spicy. It
Definitely.
was definitely a better week than I think we were expecting. I don't think the score lines are really reflective of that. Final score of the Wildcats Rebels game was 40-40-40-16. But just based off of like how a couple of games that we watched this week went, it was better than expected because teams were, teams that we didn't think would necessarily hang around hung around.
Yeah, for sure.
But in the meantime, we'll turn it over to Mr. Pollock to elaborate on the
That's
game of the day.
So that's still on here. I'll
As it was
probably
being called around Hellard Field this morning.
So yeah, the first game was a pretty good one. The second game was not.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, the second one was expected.
But it, yeah, even so, it did really, really get away. Okay, back again, James at Schold Ice Park with Grant Pollock for the week six games in the CBFA. Grant, we know we had some wide differences in scoring in the games in the past few weeks. I guess that trend kind of continued this morning.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You try and balance the schedule out with good teams and bad teams. You don't know who's going to be good this year, who's rebuilding. I shouldn't say bad, I should say rebuilding. But The first game this morning was the Bulldogs and the Lions. That was a close game. The Bulldogs, Sam Willie, I mean, he gets three or four touchdowns a game. I think he had four in today's game. So the Bulldogs pulled it off in a close game. I'm going to say it was like 52 to 30 something. So it was relatively close. Some good offensive bursts by both teams. Willie had a number of touchdowns. And Tanner Matthews, the second-year Bantam receiver running back for the Lions, was outstanding too. So that was a pretty close game. But the Bulldogs, I think they even their record at 2 wins and 2 losses. So that almost assures them a playoff spot somewhere in the middle of the pack. And the Lions are fighting to make the playoffs. I think they go to 1-3. So that was a good fun game because of some explosive offensive plays. The second game was a blowout, a big win by the Eagles, who improved their record to 4 wins and 2 losses. So that they overpowered the Chiefs in all facets of the game, even putting some second stringers in the fourth quarter. But they were just too much for the Chiefs to handle. The Chiefs had some good players, though, some strong players. Micah Maloney was one, and some other players. Liam Pearson, the running back, boy, he had some tough yards to get up the middle. So there are some spectacular plays by the Chiefs, but just overpowered by a pretty good team.
Yeah, so looking at the standings, the game this morning between the Bulldogs and the Lions is basically what is dividing Div 2 from Div 3 at this point. And so with that victory, the Bulldogs are placing themselves into Div 2 playoff position, which is probably a little better than they had expected, probably what they had been hoping for. And the Lions are maybe a little disappointed with the result.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. The Bulldogs with Sam Willie, number 34, he's a running back. He was a running back last year, was going to be a running back. He's built like a running back, solid runner. But he was rushed into being the quarterback this year, and he just rushes when he gets the ball. There's almost no bringing him down. He looks more like a high school football player out there when he runs, very powerful. So I think he's carrying the Bulldogs offensively, and they look like a team that should be in that Div 2. They belong there on the back of Sam Willie. And they've got a few injuries like a lot of teams do, but they seem to have that plug-and-play attitude that coach Glenn Verban wants them to play. Anybody who's moving around, gets into a new position, has to say, oh, I don't play in this position. They have to do it, and they perform well, and they make room for Sam Willie to charge up the field.
There you have it. So with the next man up attitude, the Bulldogs are positioning themselves for a better playoff position. And we're looking forward to another afternoon of good football here at Shoal Dice. So thanks again, Grant.
James, always a pleasure. Let's hope it's not a blowout like it was in the one game. You never, ever know. That's why they play the game, I'm told.
Absolutely. Thanks very much.
Thanks, James.
Once again, Grant is all over it. He was very concise. The only thing I would say is that he was a little behind on the standings there. So with that victory, the Bulldogs, where are they? They moved to 3-3.
Yeah.
And the Lions fall to 1-4. So they've had the bye, but the Bulldogs have not yet had theirs. So,
but they have theirs soon.
It's coming. And the Eagles' victory moves them to 4-2. Behind the Stampeders, 5-0. So with the Raiders on their bye this week, they stay at 4-1.
Yeah.
So the top of the standings is, you know, again, our Div 1 teams are looking to be the Colts, the Stamps, the Eagles, and the Raiders. And then the Wildcats are right now sitting in a Div 2 spot. But we still got a few games to go. So We'll see what happens.
The Wildcats also have the advantage in a way of they do have a game in hand against the Eagles. Because the Eagles don't have their bye until the final week of the season.
Right.
Whereas Wildcats already had theirs. And it's a 2-point, one win gap between the two of them. So that one's going to be a good fight right down to the wire for both of those sides.
Right down to week 9.
I think they play each other.
Oh, just to throw in one more correction.
The 5th.
The final score in that Bulldogs Lions game was 52-36.
Yeah. Do we see the score in the Eagles Chiefs game?
We will say it again just in case we missed it. It was 62-0 for the Eagles.
Yeah, it's kind of shaping up a bit. There was also additional playoff clinching thingies, if you will. The Eagles, the Raiders, the Stampeders, and the Colts have all clinched at least Division II or better. Because they have 8 or more points, and based off of results of the bottom 3 or more, the head-to-head point differential and all that jazz and how many points you can finish with a maximum of, those 4 sides have locked Div 2 or better.
Right on. There you go.
But still a fight for Div 1.
Yeah, it's up for grabs.
And it's going to be a good one because it is, in my opinion, a 5-team fight.
Right.
The 4 Div 1 spots. It has been since week 1, in my opinion.
Yeah. We got some really compelling matchups coming up this week. Or at least one compelling matchup. The opening matchup is going to be a doozy. It's the Wildcats and the Eagles.
I didn't clock that until like just a few moments ago, where that's going to be an extremely crucial game. Because
absolutely.
It is, like I just previously mentioned, like the Wildcats have that advantage of they do have the game in hand. But if they lose that game, then right? It's going to be almost unattainable. Because that means they also would have lost to 3 of the 4 teams ahead of them, and they still have to play the Stampeders later this season as well.
Right.
So it's going to be a tough stretch for the Wildcats for their last few games there. They definitely do not have the easy road. And of course they already have the thought in their back of their minds too, where it's like they have lost 2 games this season on the final play of the game.
Right. They're only 2 losses. So they've been in every game, and we expect them to be right there in this one too.
Yeah. So yeah, it should definitely be a really good one. First thing in the morning.
Yeah. That's the opener at 8:30. And then on the heels of that is the Lions taking on the Stampeders at 11 a.m.
That one I don't expect to be as
not exciting. As close. Probably not as close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the 1:30 games, we've got a one that might be closer. Again, it's on in Canada. That might
those
be
the Canada games.
The most interesting game of the afternoon. That's the Cowboys and the Bulldogs. And then on Hellard Field at 1:30 is the Colts and the Chiefs. And again, we expect that one will probably be over early.
Then, the Rebels Raiders game might get a little fiery.
Right. We've got, some fired up teams. The Raiders are coming off their bye. And the Rebels are, probably feeling maybe a little persecution complex, maybe a little disrespect. Whether it's, valid or not, it doesn't matter. That's what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're going to come out firing, and I think the Raiders are probably going to be looking to set an example. So that's going to be a good game too, I think.
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah, I think we definitely have some better tilts. And again, like we, saying on the podcast last week, it was we can't predict football. We hope for more thrilling and closer matches and stuff. And we did see that this week. We saw results we weren't necessarily expecting. The end results, yes, you could have predicted those, but it's, teams held on for a lot longer than what we're expecting them to, and they were close games and good games for a few of them.
And even Grant mentioned there were, flashes from players, even from the Chiefs. So I'm sure, neither of us saw it, but I'm sure there were some of those for the Mavericks as well.
Yeah, plenty of excitingness for football. Also, we'll mention that next week is our Pink Week, our
first week of Pink Socks. If you missed last week's episode, go back and listen. We had Coach Dave Hardy on from the Stampeders, and he gives a real good breakdown of how it started and why we do it, and why it's so important. So go back and have a listen.
And then in 2 weeks from now, it's Gordy's Veterans Food Drive, the 6th annual. So remember to bring non-perishable food items. And if you don't have any of those, you can bring cash. We do also accept cash.
That's right. Because cash can buy more food.
And yeah, I think that's... I think that's it for looking forward for the meantime.
Yeah.
What I can think of with my lack of brain power right now.
The only other thing that's jumped out to me is that the games on October 12th, the day of Gordy's food fight, are also starting half an hour earlier than normal. So 8 a.m. start for that first game. The day of Gordy's food fight.
I think that's
and
second of I think they only had the 2 weeks that were bumped a week early or a half hour early.
Yeah.
So yeah, plenty of excitement looking forward for the last 3 weeks of the regular season.
Absolutely. We're gonna see some jockeying for positions. We're gonna get our playoff matchup set, and then we're into the playoffs. Like it's playoffs are what, a month away. So we're in the home stretch now. It's going to start being, puffer jackets and heaters on the sidelines. So winter is coming. Be prepared.
I thought winter was only coming in Game of Thrones.
Well, their winter is a little different. Ours, we could look forward to the Chinooks here at least.
That is true. And no White Chinooks. Walkers.
No White Walkers. Yeah, that's always a bonus because I don't have a sword. So there you go.
Yep.
And no throne. And on that note, we will call it a day. And so thank you very much for tuning in once more to the CBFA podcast. We appreciate and look forward to seeing everybody down at Schold Ice Park on Saturday. The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime Players of the Game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Finally, remember to bring water and snacks to Schold Ice Park on game day. We look forward to the return of Superfan Snacks. For now, they remain closed. Thanks for listening.